This has nothing to do with money.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with place. Bowen Byram likes Buffalo. He likes his teammates. He likes the trajectory of the Sabres. This has everything to do with opportunity and a continual challenge, as I understand it, that exists within Bowen Byram. He sees himself as a number one defenseman in the NHL. And watching him in these playoffs, it's hard to argue that that's not the case. Bowen Byram is a believer in himself, and he's got this drumbeat that says, I can be that guy. And I think he can. Other teams think he can. Now it's about getting to a place where he can actually get the opportunity.
Frank Saravelli on his podcast, Frankly Hockey. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, everybody. The Leafs have made a trade, acquiring the rights. It's a sign-in trade.
Yes.
Darren Radish leaves Tampa, goes to Toronto. And
it's going to be an 8-year deal. AAV's in the eights, according to Pierre LeBrun.
All right. So, pretty big deal.
That would, I think, cross off Toronto as a Byram destination because Radish is going to be their power play defenseman. And they would have a top pair spot, but if Byram wants power play, that is not happening with Radish.
Byram also wants probably like $3 million more than that. $2 to $3 million more than that.
True.
I mean, Radish for $8 million in Toronto, by the way, as we constantly talk about the landscapes in this, right, and the tax.
Yeah.
Like, Toronto, $8 million is what in Tampa?
I would say a big difference would be that Radish is 5 years older, and this was the first year Radish was this player.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he was a – his two – he had only – this is only – he's 30 years old. This is his third full season in the NHL. And his two previous – he averaged 17 minutes a night and had 37 points, and averaged 19 minutes a night and had 33 points. This year, he went up to 22 minutes and had 70 points. So 1 year of this, and he's 30. So that might be why he got less than Byram, who is 25 years old, and some team would be hoping, you know. That Radish is, I'm giving this guy an 8-year contract, and it's the tuck conversation. I'm okay with 4 years, 5 years of good hockey, and then eating 3 years that aren't so good. Byram, you would, I think, be expecting he'll be a good player for you the whole time. Like, the entirety of the contract, because he'll be 33, 32 by the time it's over. So, Radish is probably equivalent to him in types of, like, role minutes, but the age is going to be why he's getting less, I think.
803-0550. To join us in 1-888-550-2550. We'll talk with Paul at 7:30, get his thoughts on the latest on Byram, which was yesterday that multiple teams are calling the Sabres about Byram, and Jarmo Kekalainen, this part's not part of the report. Like, he probably knows here that Byram's not going to re-sign, and the conversations internally have to begin, what the best chart forward is. You know, we're making all these comparisons, and a buddy texted in, is Byram Peerless Price to Eric Moulds? That might not be that bad. If you think, good player, don't know if he's a good idea as a number one. So
And he left to go be a number one, right?
Yeah. And he left also because the price paid was so significant. Got a first-round pick?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where it's like, well, I mean, if we're going to get a really good price, we'll do it. And for Byram, it's the same conversation to me. Like, what are they going to get? Jarmo could look at all the offers and say, you're going to play here. Let's go win the cup. You won it once before. Let's win it again.
Yeah. Price went to Atlanta and had 142 targets and had 800 yards.
Yeah, it did not work out
so
well.
So it didn't go great. Although he did have 148 targets here the year before. But that's kind of Byram, isn't it? Like, Byram is, we are giving you a big role. Like, you're playing 22 and a half minutes a night. He played the most minutes in the Boston series.
Yeah, that's why I think...
Maybe that was just even strength, but he played the most minutes in the Boston series, and you're getting number two power play time, and we have a top four that, sure, Dahlin plays the most, but you're not that far off of it in terms of how often you're playing, but there would be a status that comes with being a number one guy, too. And again, I do think the points is a part of it, too. If you want to be a guy that is, again, if he thinks he's someday going to be in the Norris conversation or that he wants to be considered one of the best players, defensemen in the league, well, then you're going to probably have to put up some points to do that. And it is hard to put up big points at that position in the league if you're not a number one defenseman. Like you can do all you want. Byram, I think a year ago, not this past season, but the one previous, I think he was top 10 in the NHL in even strength points at his position. And was he anywhere near the top of the list in the NHL for defensemen? No. Because if you're not stacking 30 power play points on top of your stats every year, then you're not going to really be in those conversations. So I think power play specifically is like a big part of this for him, which is why I would try to cross Toronto off. More than the money. I would cross it off because I just think that spot's not going to be available to him.
The odd thing about all that, like not even disputing any of that, isn't that kind of cart before the horse? There's this idea that he wants that to prove he's a number one, and that would maybe get you paid. Right?
Right.
But instead...
But you'd be being paid first.
Instead, it's pay me because I can do that.
Right. And
not to say he's wrong, but he's not getting the opportunity to prove it. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to prove it here. So maybe that's why he wants a trade. Send me somewhere where I can put up what? How many points does he think he can put up on another team? Maybe not even make the playoffs. But a one-year rental, I'll go to this team, I'll go to Utah, and I'll put up a crazy amount of points, and then I'll get, what, $13
million? Right.
It's just an honest question. I'm not saying anything about the player.
Yeah.
The idea is he's got 1 year to further boost his value. Does he boost it somewhere else more? Or does he boost it here by being the second pair defenseman, going to the playoffs, trying to win the cup? You know, they go to the conference final. He has a great series. And then a team sees and says, like, all right, now that's how you're getting $13 million. Not by going to Chicago and putting up 78 points.
Right.
I don't really know.
He's probably thinking, yeah, well, it would depend on what your next contract is, too, right? Like, if you're signing a 3-year deal or 4-year deal with whatever next team you're going to and thinking, yeah, I'll go be on their number one power play unit for a while and I'll put up 70 points a year and then I'll go make $15 million a year. Like, that could be how you're charting that, but you're really betting on yourself. For the amount of even strength points he puts up per year, like, if I just added in, and this would probably be unfair.
Yeah, go for it.
Add in what Dahlin gets on the power play. If I added in what Dahlin gets on the power play.
What's Dahlin get on the power play?
Dahlin last year, he had 26 power play points.
Okay, give Byram 20.
Okay. If I gave him 20, he would have gotten 62 points last year. And if I had given him the exact same, he would have been at 68. So, yeah, 60 to 70 points a year.
And how much money is he getting? In the new NHL, where the cap goes up, not only this year, but again next year.
Right. And that's where...
12 and a half?
Is he going to get that number anyway? Is he going to get the number as though, you know, like another team would look at it and say, you know, we're paying you like a guy who's been getting 60 to 70 points a year because we probably think if you were their number one power play defenseman the last 3 years, you would have been getting 60 to 70 points a year, which I don't even think is that unfair. But that doesn't mean he's a number one defenseman in the NHL. And a team valuing him that way, I feel like would be making... It'd be some sort of desperation, I think, is, all right, we can't find our own number one, Dahlin, Makar. This guy's good. Let's see if he can do it. And maybe he'll be able to. But I don't know. It's tough. I think the Sabres would have to pay the price to him of, we'll pay you like a number one defenseman. And even then, it might not even matter because I think he would... be settling. He would. What it sounds like is that he would think he would be settling if he did that.
Yeah.
Right. Like Saravelli saying it's not about the money. Well, okay. If it's not about the money, I could give him the Dahlin contract all I want, and it might not matter.
Right. It's not about the money. The Sabres could offer him 10 today, and he could think not enough.
Right.
At the end of next year, I'm going to get 12, and I'm going to get it wherever I want. He might think that. 803-0550. And 1-888-552-550. Mike Babcock has been cleared by the NHL. The investigation is over, and he will coach the Edmonton Oilers next. So that's happening.
So now we can root for it to get blown up and McDavid to want to leave after a year because it's so terrible there and in the locker room.
Yep. Anyway, 803-0550, our phone number. Do we have an episode of World Cup of Joe today?
We do.
Oh, how exciting. We are.
We do have an episode.
16-0 in our last 16 guesses on fun facts and countries. What a run for us.
I'm going to get you today.
Yeah?
I'm going to get you today. If I don't, I don't know what I'll do. I'll be going into the weekend on an 0-24 run.
Well, I mean, you're feeling like all you have to do is go 1-7.
I would take it right now. I just don't want to go into the weekend 0-24.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Team USA today.
I said yesterday, because I saw this tweeted, that if they win, then they clinch the group. That's not official, because goal differential is the number one tiebreaker. I mean, it would be hard for them to not win the group if they won today, but
Turkey would have to beat Paraguay, right?
Right. But then even then, you'd be 3 points up in Australia. And yeah. I think theoretically Australia could make that up, but what are the, like, if you beat them 1-0 today, then you're going to be up 3 in goal differential, which means they're going to have to outscore Paraguay by 4.
Right.
And you're going to have to lose your next game to win the group.
Not so, even about winning the group.
Yeah.
They're pretty much, are they made to make it through with a draw?
You have 4 because points. Of goal differential already? Oh, with a draw?
With
yes.
a draw,
yes.
they're through.
I was going to say, even if they lost the next two, I think there might still be a shot. But if they drew, I think they'd be in. Yeah.
Do we have the updated fancy stats on who they're likely to play? Has that been updated at all?
I don't
even know
look.
Which Twitter account it is. I just know I saw this very complicated graph, which when I see one of those, I think, like, this person's definitely done a lot of work. So I just trust it. Who would put all that work into something fake?
Yeah, Michael Kelly from the Double Pivot podcast.
Okay, that's who it is. Updated odds on who they'll play in the knockout stage, first round versus whatever, quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Last I saw it was Bosnia, like the crossover... Whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, it was Bosnia and but there was a small chance of Argentina in the round of 16.
Yes, Argentina or Belgium, I believe, were the two most likely in the round of 16.
He is not. Doesn't appear he's updated it since then.
All right,
so
I'll give him a call.
I'm not sure.
Michael Calley's his name.
Michael Calley.
I'll give him a call. 803-0550 is our phone number. Paul Hamilton at 7:30. Nick Mendola on his way to cover Brazil and Haiti will give us a USA Australia preview as well. Coming up at 8:00 here on WGR.
Hour number two, rolling along here. Just had Bill Hoppe in the building here on a Friday talking some Sabres. Good times there. Bill's right, too. Like, it's going to be a fun offseason. And, like, even with stuff surrounding, you know, Tuck is probably leaving, Byron might be traded. It's a different feeling than what it has been for most years, where it just felt like even the Byron deal, if they are to trade him, there's a very real chance you're getting a very good player in return.
Yeah, it's not prospects coming back.
Yes, you're not sitting here going, great, we just lost the best player in the deal, and we're bad still, or we're bad again. There is a good feeling, I think, as well, what does help. The prospects looked very good in the playoffs, so there's, at least how I said it, this young group looks better than the previous young group under Adams, so like there's at least a little bit more confidence, I guess, that you can trust the young kids to maybe have more serious roles. I agree, though, with Bill. I don't want to put Hellenius or Osland into the Tuck role and expect them to just be exactly what I need them to be 84 games next year.
Like, I'm all the way back, by the way, on the idea of Philip Forsberg.
I still like that idea a lot,
Get a young defenseman in there if I'm Nashville, who, after Roman Josi's contract expires in 2 years, but he's 36. Like, you will be the guy.
No, I Nashville, absolutely.
Nashville, you can absolutely talk to, you know,
Yossi's the name right now, but Byram, you're
you could talk
here.
To Byram and be like, no, no, no. Like, it's pretty easy. You'll play with Roman Josi, and then it's yours. Which, by the way, you then still get to play with Roman Josi as the way to lead you into being the guy on the blue line here in Nashville. And then Buffalo gets to come back and go, Philip Forsberg's cool. I probably have to throw in a prospect. I probably got to give you an Oslund or something like that. Maybe even a cool league I might be able to talk you down to, because we're giving you Byram.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, like, maybe I'm overvaluing Bo Byram in this instance, because like Philip Forsberg has 40 goals in 3 of his last 5 seasons.
Right, and it's a cheaper contract for
a
guy of his caliber.
It's a cheaper contract. Yeah. I need Darlene to speak fluid, speak, give me the smoothest talk, Rasmus Dahlin, to Philip Forsberg in all the Swedish that you need to, that is required. It doesn't matter. Do what you have to do. Get Philip Forsberg in this building. Like, that's got to be my go-to because it makes so much sense for both parties. Nashville can get younger, get a couple of players in here to, like, reestablish themselves, and then Buffalo gets what would be the best player in the deal. Something we haven't felt for this team in, brother, how long?
I'm going to go with ever because it feels safe. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here. Connor's up first. Connor, how we doing?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing well.
Listen, I don't understand why there's so much attention around the Bo Byram contract. I mean, Josh Norris only has a 10-team no-trade clause. I mean, is that not the guy to get rid of at almost $8 million a year?
I would have told you at the trade deadline, yes. I still might even say yes now. It's just his name is not in any reports.
Yeah, it's more or less
I imagine nobody wants him.
the contract and health, I think, is right.
Connor, I'm going to be willing to say something a little uncomfortable to you on this one. I would suspect Josh Norris plays the majority of the contract as a Buffalo Sabre. I hope that he's able to rebound and get his performance back up to snuff, and you can hope for some more healthy seasons. But considering the injury history, the contract, it's going to be a tough ask to get that moved off at this point. You just hope that he's going to be able to ride it out with a little bit more consistency in his availability.
Yeah, no, totally agree. But, I mean, I think Byram, I don't know if you're going to get a nice return for him. So I think I agree with the gentleman that was on earlier, man. Let him just try again. You know, yeah, I don't think he didn't have fun. I don't think he didn't play well or hated to be there. You know, he'll get his money in free agency, and I don't know if you're really going to get the return you'd want for him versus maybe another run to the cup.
No, Connor, I think that's absolutely right. This is where, and thanks for the call, this is where Yarmo's going to have to make that decision. Are you willing to, because the return may not be good, are you willing to have for two straight off seasons kind of the perception around you being you're letting a great player walk for nothing, but the positive is there, you may make the playoffs two straight years, and you're in a game seven against Montreal to make the Eastern Conference final. Also, go another year. I agree with the caller. Every report is saying the same thing as well. Byram does not hate it here. He's having a good time.
He's having a good time. It's just there's something missing.
It just wants to be the one. But weirder things have happened.
Weirder things have happened. That, you can change your tune.
Yeah.
It is something. And again, risk-taking is not always about the moves you have to make or mm-hmm. the moves that you think have to be made. Risk-taking can also be legitimately standing your ground and going, I'm not trading you.
Which, to be fair, isn't that kind of Yarmo's calling card?
It's something
that
he's done.
You mentioned it with Bill of the fact that he kept Panarin. He keeps Bobrovsky.
And then he even goes out and trades for Duchesne and Dzingel.
So, like, there is something to that with Yarmo specifically of, no, if I'm not getting a good enough return, I'm going to keep the guy. And we'll ride this out. Byram's not going to hold out. He's not going to not play.
And it's not like – so, Ready, it's not like July 1st, 2007. Where you could have probably got a chance to retain one of your co-captains. You just ended up picking the one that had eyes on going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Identified the wrong guy. You know, it happens. By the time you went to try to get back to Briere, he's talking with Philly. Overall, you forgive those things at this point. This is different because you're going to make the aggressive push again. And aggression can very well be, I know what I'm going to be facing. I know the dangers I'm about to approach here. A year can change things from now in terms of a person's perception. But we also have to make sure this is not a fluke. So at the cost of Bo Byram possibly leaving for nothing, next year, you do need to establish a bit of a avenue where teams can go, okay, they're not a fluke anymore. I might be more willing to waive my NTC.
Oh, yeah. Just be consistent. Be a team that is, again, in the playoffs. You don't take that. The step back could be you don't have as many points. You had 109 in a division win, right? We mentioned with Bill, you could have 100 points in the Atlantic and still wind up as a wild card team. Like,
yeah,
there is an avenue where they take a step back and it doesn't even feel like it.
Right.
Just because of what the division is. I think that is maybe the most important thing going into next year. Like, ultimately, is because you are seeing that maybe they don't. We sit with this team every day. We know the ins and outs of it. I'm talking about us in this building and the fan base. We sit with this team every day. We felt and saw the change happen in real time. The rest of the league may not have. You're seeing that in the betting lines. Ottawa's ahead of them. New Jersey's ahead of them. They do have to kind of prove to everybody it's not a one-off. And their first step of that, and I'm not saying they have to pay talk because of this, but their first step towards that is losing a 30-plus goal scorer to free agency. The aesthetics of it, the look of it, it's not great.
It's not great.
But again, we sit here with the team, you know, we're all anticipating a big Yarmo move. Or if it has to happen, okay, but we love the prospects. The young players look ready to go.
They look ready to go.
In the playoffs, they're the guys pulling the levers.
Yeah, they're the ones that are kind of revitalizing lines that looked dead in the water in the first series. Like, they're the ones that kind of wake things up a little bit. Hellenius unlocks Quinn and Zucker.
And it's long enough into the playoffs where it was wondering, like, what the hell is going on with Zucker. Well, Quinn, you could at least argue, I used to snake Quinn bitten by the devil. That poor guy only hits the post.
And like he was putting up even strength points. He had 3 even strength points in the Boston series. And, you know, they were all really fantastic plays that he was setting up. And he was the only one on that line between him, McLeod, and Zucker that had an even strength point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hang on. No, McLeod has one. It's because a power play expires. It's your power play goal in spirit.
Whatever. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's power play goal in spirit. The idea was there. The power play was improving.
Yes, but anyway.
Baby steps.
The point was, they have to move McLeod off that line, and it unlocks Quinn and Zucker. Suddenly, they're the line that's bringing it along with the Benson, Doan, Norris line, and causing the chaos, adding more scoring. Line one dried up, unfortunately. So much so that Game 7, you had to shuffle things around. But the line you didn't touch in Game 7 was Hellenius with Quinn and Zucker.
Yeah, anytime they needed anything in the playoffs, it's the young guys.
It was the kids.
And Benson and Doan should count
that
as well.
Benson and Doan are included in this.
803-0550, again, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Mike up next. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Bo Byram. I like Bo Byram. He's a good hockey player. But I think he's – do you realize he had 2 goals after January 1st this year before the playoffs?
It did dry up.
The first half of the season, he had 12 goals or 10 goals. It's like, wow, this guy's great. And then everything dried up after January 1st. Yeah, he had a good playoffs, but he was the only defenseman, the top 4 defensemen in the playoffs that wasn't plus in the plus minus. I just think he doesn't want to be here. He wants to be a number one. Now's the time to get rid of him because you can't lose him for nothing. And you put a package together and, you know, make him happy going somewhere else. And make us happy getting, whether it's another top 4 defenseman, whether it's a forward. I love your Forsberg idea. I just don't know if that works.
It's pie in the sky, I know.
Yeah, but these are the types of things that you can do. We've got a lot of talent. We've got a lot of young guys that we can package together. I mean, people forget about Kulich, how good he was last year. I think we can lose Tuck and we can lose Byram and bring in guys and be better than we were this year.
Mike, I think they can lose him for nothing next year if they make another run. They're in the playoffs, and it is because that's the thing. The deal has to be worth it. You mentioned we have the prospects; they have the ability to go add players to be better. If they don't, though, they should just ride this year out with him. Because he is going to play.
That's
the pie in the sky thing. It has to be that.
It has to be a pie in the sky. And it has to be a deal that, quite frankly, we like in order for the deal to happen at this point. I'm not going to say that Byram's, you know, replaceable in any sort of way. He had a rough Boston series, though. Oh, boy. He definitely did not have
himself. You mean Montreal?
Oh, Montreal series. Yes, you are. Sorry about that. I'm sleepy. Yeah, he had a really rough Montreal series. And he has a good start to it, But as the series goes on, Byram is at times a disaster, actually, in his own zone. And it kind of likens back to, you know, his play from the season prior.
Yes.
And you're like, oh boy, that's not what I want to see. I don't think it's anything in his head. It's just sometimes players don't step up to the occasion, even after a series prior where they do step up to the occasion. Mm-hmm. Hockey's weird.
It's long.
But
it's a long playoffs.
The two colleges that we take, though, very different avenues, which is, you know, I don't know if, you know, you're going to have the capability to pull the pieces off to make a Byram trade that is comfortable, agreeing with Bill Hoppe's take. And then the one that we just take, you can go ahead, like, you have more confidence that it's going to get done. It's cool to have the confidence, though, right?
It's cool to have the confidence that you have the players that even if some top-end talent move on, you're not in a bad spot. I will say, though, real quick, we've got to take another time out here. It's not just the prospects that I look at of like, ooh, are you sure you're going to take another step forward or maintain your progression? Sticking with the blue line, I know we all loved Samuelson's seasons last year. It also did come completely out of nowhere. They're in a good spot now. Doesn't mean they have to stay that way. And so that's where I can understand keeping Byram if you're not getting a deal to make it worth your while. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on the Byram situation, the Tuck situation, the overall offseason for the Sabres. We are exactly 1 week away from the start of the NHL draft here in Buffalo. The Sabres do currently, sadly, hold the 20th overall pick. Let's hope they move that. Let's not pick another prospect. We'll see. We'll be right back on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Paul, in a moment. Golf, man. We started talking to Brian Koziel at 5:02. And like, oh, Shoffley, Fitzpatrick, Rory, they're all guys I have in my pick 10 bet with he and Mike. They're the next group back of the leader, four shots back. This is all. I got three guys that have a look at it. 25 minutes later, three bogeys in a row, and he's even. Like, just go, woof. Paul Hamilton, you have never been much of a golfer, have you? You played in the station tournament a couple times.
I've won awards. Ice in the station tournament
for the worst group of all time.
Yeah, I think it's a cool trophy. Actually, I think it's almost the nicest looking trophy of all of them. So it's like, well, at least if I'm going to get the trophy for the worst golfer, Howard Simon and I used to vie for that. At least I got a cool trophy out of it.
Yeah, you never got the bug though for the game.
Nah, never really. That's what I found out during COVID when I wasn't working that. I have no hobbies. I need to be working because love what I do.
Yeah.
I really, really love what I do. And I don't golf. I don't play guitar. I go to see live music, of course, but
you couldn't do that during COVID.
Yeah. So it's like, I found out that retiring is not in my DNA. So
I'm going to keep grinding. All right.
Keep grinding.
Well, it's never too late, Paul. You could start. I never thought I'd be playing like I'm playing now. I mean, I always had clubs and I guess played, but it was for a while. I only played the once a year in the station tournament for quite a few years in a row. And I only just 5 years ago got the bug pretty badly again. So who knows for you, although you're way older than me. So I don't know. Maybe it is too late for you.
I don't know about that. You put us together. You look older than I do.
That's the gray beard, Paul. I'm going to shave
the
beard.
We'll ask your son. We're going to stand next to each other. We'll ask your son. Who looks older?
So what do you make of – I'll start on Zach Benson. That's the latest news today. Kevin Weeks says the Sabres, and this is not shocking, are working towards a long-term, pretty significant contract with Zach Benson. I said it this way to Brian, and I said it this way to Joe Yurden. Like it feels to me like the highest approval rating you might ever get for a Sabres contract. I think there'll be very few people going, yeah, but he's only so young or he's so little or he only scored 40 points or whatever. I think right now we're in a torrid love affair with Zach Benson, and 7 years, $7 million, sign me up.
Well, I got a story for you. In Montreal, I was at my favorite restaurant getting Montreal meat on top of spaghetti, and it's awesome. But I was sitting at the bar, and of course, there are going to be Montreal Canadian fans all sitting at the bar. The bartender knew I was from Buffalo and mentioned it. And so I said, all right, who's your favorite Sabre? Every single person there said Benson. Every single one. That's who if they could pick anybody off the Sabre roster, every Montreal Canadian fan sitting at that bar would have picked Benson. So that gives you an idea what people around the league think of him too.
Mm-hmm. So full speed ahead, right? I mean, there's no buyer beware in your opinion?
No, and right. I think
same. Yeah.
From an offensive standpoint, you know, I've said from the beginning, he came up at 18. I said, look, he has scored goals in every level, every league he's been in. But I don't think he's going to walk into the National Hockey League at 18 years old and score 25 goals. I just didn't think he would, and he didn't. But it seemed like about midway through this season, maybe a little later than that, it was before the playoffs, he started showing some offensive skill. Well, his first goal ever showed a lot of offensive skill, if you remember mm-hmm. it, through the legs. And he was starting to pile up some points in the last, 30 games or so in the season. And then in the playoffs, he started scoring some big goals. And scoring, like, not just goals going in off your elbow or something. I mean, scoring some goals type of a scenario. So I feel there's still more to come on the offense. There, of course, are all the intangibles that he brings. And the thing, the minus that he had, Lindy Ruff got out of him. His last year, not this past year, the year before, he would take a lot of stupid penalties with all his shenanigans. Lindy Ruff sat him down and told him, look, you got to stop taking the penalties. I don't mind the shenanigans, but you got to know where the line is. And you got to stop putting a shorthanded. And he did. There weren't too many times last year that he took dumb penalties that made them shorthanded. And he was in a lot of garbage going on, but when it went on, he usually took somebody with him.
Right.
Or he would draw the penalty. You know? So that was really the only minus that you could say really hurt the team. And he figured out a way to get it out of his game, but still play his game. And so I don't think it's a little more than I would have thought or what the reporting was. But mm-hmm. No, I don't think it's, a lot of people thought, well, Samuelson really got overpaid. Well, they're not saying it at the end of this year. A lot of people thought Thompson, he got overpaid. Yeah, not really. Not when you're looking at what he's making now. And he's probably wishing he didn't sign a long-term deal at a younger age.
I would need
that was the thing to do in the NHL back when he signed that.
Yeah, I would need to do a deep dive to confirm this, but it feels like Samuelson, that contract has to be in the running for the best contract in the league right now with the level
and
he played at.
People hated that
last
contract for how many years?
Yeah, right. No, a year ago, we were talking about this earlier in the week. I don't remember what day. The GMs, someone called us. Like, do you think the people running these teams pay attention to the fans or to what you guys say or whatever? I'm like, well, I mean, here's an example of why you shouldn't, because we all wanted Samuelson bought out off the team after last year and how he didn't respond against the Devils when Thompson got hit. That was really the flashpoint. His play was poor all along, but when he didn't show up for that, it was like, that's it, I'm done. Get off my team, right?
Right.
And not only did the Sabres hold steady there, I mean, they're getting paid off for the next however many years, assuming Samuelson stays at the level he's at. Like, that $4.5 million, he should be for the way he played last year, he should be getting paid somewhere between what Power and Dahlin are getting paid.
Right. I mean, Byram will be our next topic, but he's kind of one of the reasons why Byram basically has told the Sabres, you got a year and I'm leaving. You know, he can't get the role that he wants playing with the Buffalo Sabres. And what Frank Saravelli said on his podcast is something that we said last summer when we were talking about contracts for Byram. It has nothing to do with the city of Buffalo. It has nothing to do with the Buffalo Sabres organization. It has nothing to do with his teammates. He loves his teammates. He has a great time with them. He likes the organization. He likes what it's turned into. He likes the city of Buffalo. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with he wants to be a number one defenseman, and he has an agent who will take guys to free agent, and they basically have told the Sabres, no matter what, even if he's traded, he is going to go test free agency. So I think, are we ready to jump into this?
Yeah, sure, go for it. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we didn't short shrift the other topic.
No, all good.
You know, it's what you there's a number of things you can do, because this is kind of a little bit like the Reinhardt thing. Reinhardt had one more year before unrestricted free agency, told the Sabres he wouldn't re-sign, and that gave Adams the opportunity to make the trade to get Levi and a draft pick that turned into Kulik. So, you know, again, the Sabres have a year. They could do what they've done with Tuck and make him a rental.
Mm-hmm.
If they, their own rental, if they wanted to run it back, if they wanted to do that, or they can do what they did with Reinhardt and find some type of a deal that, you know, would help both sides, or find out, does Byram have a team he's thinking of, or two teams that he's thinking of, and see if you can rattle their cage a little bit and see what they're thinking. And, you know, let's say he wanted to go to Team A, and you call Team A, and Team A goes, you know what, we were kind of thinking of him. What would it take to get him here? So they could sign him to the 8-year deal if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's a possibility. There are options right now that you can still do if he has done you the favor of letting you know that, look it, I'm going to unrestricted free agency. The problem with that is, though, too, with other teams, they know they're basically getting a rental too, unless it's a team that he really wants to go to.
Right.
But if it's not, you're not going to get the value you want. If everybody knows, well, I'm only going to get him for a year and he's going to test free agency.
Yeah, no, you want to try to place him in a place where he wants to sign for the 7 or the 8, whatever. Like, yeah, otherwise he's not the key piece in a Matthew Nyes trade if he's only playing in Toronto for a year. Like, there's just no way that Toronto's doing that. So, I mean,
Toronto might have just finished that with Radish.
Yeah, well, possibly. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, very different type players, but sure. I mean,
money wise, though.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's right. Yeah. We'll see. They might. Who knows? Maybe they'll move Riley, and that would open up another spot.
Sure. Sure.
And we'll see where that ends up. All right, Paul. Our time is at an end. Enjoy. I don't know. Enjoy the volatility of the weather. It seems like it's nice again now, right? Are we in the clear? I think we're in the clear. I think the weather's gone.
I had a thunderstorm for about 15 minutes, and it's blue sky, white clouds. I'll be on my way to the Bison game before too long, and it's beautiful.
Giddy up. Well, enjoy. Are you doing the game, or are you just going to the game?
No, tomorrow I'm doing tomorrow's game, so today is my scouting trip.
All right. Good deal, Paul. Enjoy that. Thanks for carving out a little time for us today, and enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Take care.
That's our dude Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearances with us here on WGR brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll hit up a timeout. Rory almost holed out from the fairway, by the way. He was 109 yards out. I imagine that was like a 80-degree wedge he hit from there or something. Yeah, I'm exaggerating. It just missed going in. I mean, just missed. So he's back under par, and the bogey train stopped. For him. What a shot. Holy cow. All right, timeout at hand. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR. Ah! That's the gray beard, Paul. I'm going to shave
the
beard.
We'll ask your son. We're going to stand next to each other. We'll ask your son. Who looks older?
So what do you make of – I'll start on Zach Benson. That's the latest news today. Kevin Weeks says the Sabres, and this is not shocking, are working towards a long-term, pretty significant contract with Zach Benson. I said it this way to Brian, and I said it this way to Joe Yurden. Like, it feels to me like the highest approval rating you might ever get for a Sabres contract. I think there'll be very few people going, yeah, but he's only so young, or he's so little, or he only scored 40 points or whatever. I think right now we're in a torrid love affair with Zach Benson. And 7 years, $7 million, sign me up.
Well, I got a story for you. In Montreal, I was at my favorite restaurant getting Montreal meat on top of spaghetti, and it's awesome. But I was sitting at the bar, and of course, they're going to be Montreal Canadian fans all sitting at the bar. The bartender knew I was from Buffalo and mentioned it. And so I said to everybody, I said, all right, who's your favorite Sabre? Every single person there said Benson. Every single one. That's who they, if they could pick anybody off the Sabre roster, every Montreal Canadian fan sitting at that bar would have picked Benson. So that gives you an idea what people around the league think of him too.
Mm-hmm. So full speed ahead, right? I mean, there's no buyer beware in your opinion.
No, and right. I think
same. Yeah.
From an offensive standpoint, you know, I've said from the beginning, he came up at 18. I said, look, he has scored goals in every level, every league he's been in. But I don't think he's going to walk into the National Hockey League at 18 years old and score 25 goals. I just didn't think he would, and he didn't. But it seemed like about midway through this season, maybe a little later than that, it was before the playoffs, he started showing some offensive skill. Well, his first goal ever showed a lot of offensive skill, if you remember mm-hmm. it, through the legs. And he was starting to pile up some points in the last, 30 games or so in the season. And then in the playoffs, he started scoring some big goals. And scoring, like, not just goals going in off your elbow or something. I mean, scoring some goal scorers' goals type of a scenario. So I feel there's still more to come on the offense. There, of course, are all the intangibles that he brings. And the thing, the minus that he had, Lindy Ruff got out of him. His last year, not this past year, the year before, he would take a lot of stupid penalties with all his shenanigans. Lindy Ruff sat him down and told him, look, you got to stop taking the penalties. I don't mind the shenanigans, but you got to know where the line is. And you got to stop putting us shorthanded. And he did. There weren't too many times last year that he took dumb penalties that made them shorthanded. And he was in a lot of garbage going on, but when it went on, he usually took somebody with him.
Right.
Or he would draw the penalty. You know? So that was really the only minus that you could say really hurt the team. And he figured out a way to get it out of his game, but still play his game. And so I don't think it's a little more than I would have thought, or what the reporting was. But mm-hmm. no, I don't think it's, a lot of people thought, well, Samuelson really got overpaid. Well, they're not saying it at the end of this year. A lot of people thought Thompson, wow, he got overpaid. Yeah, not really. Not when you're looking at what he's making now. And he's probably wishing he didn't sign a long-term deal at a younger age.
I would need
that was the thing to do in the NHL back when he signed that.
Yeah, I would need to do a deep dive to confirm this, but it feels like Samuelson, that contract has to be in the running for the best contract in the league right now with the level
and
he
people
played
hated that contract for how many years?
Yeah, right. No, I know. A year ago, we were talking about this earlier in the week. I don't remember what day. The GMs, someone called us. Like, do you think the people running these teams pay attention to the fans or to what you guys say or whatever? I'm like, well, I mean, here's an example of why you shouldn't, because we all wanted Samuelson bought out off the team after last year and how he didn't respond against the Devils when Thompson got hit. That was really the flashpoint. His play was poor all along, but when he didn't show up for that, it was like, that's it, I'm done. Get off my team, right?
Right.
And not only did the Sabres hold steady there, I mean, they're getting paid off for the next however many years, assuming Samuelson stays at the level he's at. Like, that $4.5 million, he should be for the way he played last year, he should be getting paid somewhere between what Power and Dahlin are getting paid.
Right. I mean, I know Byram will be our next topic, but he's kind of one of the reasons why Byram basically has told the Sabres, you got a year and I'm leaving. He can't get the role that he wants playing with the Buffalo Sabres. And what Frank Saravelli said on his podcast is something that we said last summer when we were talking about contracts for Byram. It has nothing to do with the city of Buffalo. It has nothing to do with the Buffalo Sabres organization. It has nothing to do with his teammates. He loves his teammates. He has a great time with them. He likes the organization. He likes what it's turned into. He likes the city of Buffalo. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with he wants to be a number one defenseman, and he has an agent who will take guys to free agent, and they basically have told the Sabres, no matter what, even if he's traded, he is going to go test free agency. So I think, are we ready to jump into this?
Yeah, sure, go for it. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we didn't short shrift the other topic.
No, all good.
You know, it's what you there's a number of things you can do, because this is kind of a little bit like the Reinhardt thing. Reinhardt had one more year before unrestricted free agency, told the Sabres he wouldn't re-sign, and that gave Adams the opportunity to make the trade to get Levi and a draft pick that turned into Kulik. So, you know, again, the Sabres have a year. They could do what they've done with Tuck and make him a rental.
Mm-hmm.
If their own rental, if they wanted to run it back, if they wanted to do that, or they can do what they did with Reinhardt and find some type of a deal that you know, would help both sides, or find out does Byram have a team he's thinking of, or two teams that he's thinking of, and see if you can rattle their cage a little bit and see what they're thinking. And, you know, let's say he wanted to go to Team A, and you call Team A, and Team A goes, you know what, we were kind of thinking of him. What would it take to get him here? So they could sign him to the 8-year deal if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's a possibility. There are options right now that you can still do if he has done you the favor of letting you know that, look it, I'm going to unrestricted free agency. The problem with that is, though, too, with other teams, they know they're basically getting a rental too, unless it's a team that he really wants to go to.
Right.
But if it's not, you're not going to get the value you want. If everybody knows, well, I'm only going to get him for a year and he's going to test free agency.
Yeah, no, you want to try to place him in a place where he wants to sign for the 7 or the 8, whatever. Like, yeah, otherwise he's not the key piece in a Matthew Nyes trade if he's only playing in Toronto for a year. Like, there's just no way that Toronto's doing that. So, I mean,
Toronto might have just finished that with Radish.
Yeah, well, possibly. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, very different type players, but sure. I mean,
money wise, though.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's right. Yeah. We'll see. They might. Who knows? Maybe they'll move Riley, and that would open up another spot.
Sure. Sure.
And we'll see where that ends up. All right, Paul. Our time is at an end. Enjoy. Enjoy the volatility of the weather. It seems like it's nice again now, right? Are we in the clear? I think we're in the clear. I think the weather's gone.
I had a thunderstorm for about 15 minutes, and it's blue sky, white clouds. I'll be on my way to the Bison game before too long, and it's beautiful.
Giddy up. Well, enjoy. Are you doing the game, or are you just going to the game?
No, tomorrow I'm doing tomorrow's game, so today is my scouting trip.
All right. Good deal, Paul. Enjoy that. Thanks for carving out a little time for us today.